Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Happy Monday. Welcome to Fearless Generations. This is Terry Sayre, and I'm here with my daughter, Kelly Fox, and we are ready to talk about connections. Last week, we talked about some three ways we might shift our feelings from being disconnected to being connected. And Kelly shared and I shared our goals and the three things that we were going to tweak and move forward in connecting. So I have had a busy week. I bet everybody else has, getting ready for Christmas, and lots of great connections. It seems like this time of the year, connections just ooze out of everybody. It's that time of year you wish you could bottle it and sell it, and everybody would stay in this joyous, connecting kind of mood forever. And the families get together and friends get together, and there's all this congeniality and wishing of merry holidays and merry Christmas and love, and this seems to permeate the atmosphere during this time of the year. So it's been easy to work on making connections and feeling connected. But I know that during this time of the year as well, there are a lot of times that people are very disconnected. I know I have three really good friends that have lost a loved one in the last few weeks. And there is a lot of heartache that occurs at this time of the year. And people who aren't connected and don't have a family, people who are really down and out and perhaps homeless and not even having enough to eat or to be warm during this time of the year. So there is a lot of disconnection going on around us as well. But for us, we've been working on this concept of how we can become connected. So, Kelly, how's your week been? I know you had some really great connections this week as well.
I have had some great connections this week. My husband's mother and mother's mother were with us this week, and it was really great. They live in Arizona, and we live here in California, so we don't get to see them very often. And so it was great. We had them here in our home from Thursday till this morning, and the kids got to spend so much time with them, and they got them bikes for Christmas, so they were out there teaching them how to ride bikes and all of that fun stuff. They made cookies, and together they made, my mother-in-law taught my daughters how to make my husband's favorite dish when he was a kid, so that they could make that for him if they wanted to. So it was lots of fun that we don't usually get to have because they're not here. So that was really fun. And just talking about other things that we want to do together. We call my mother-in-law's mother, we call her Gigi. She was just talking about how she wants to teach my daughters how to sew and crochet and all these things that her grandmother taught her how to do, and how we wish that we, you know, were able to spend more time together and to have those moments. So lots of great connection, got to know a lot more about Gigi. We had moments to talk and to really get to know each other. And so that was really cool. And that was all this weekend. Majority of it was this weekend. We also celebrated my youngest son's first birthday, and so we had extra family in the house. My sister and her family, Terry, of course, is there, another niece and some friends, and of course, Grandma and Gigi. And, you know, we got to celebrate Liam and him joining our family in his first year of life. And so that was a lot of good connecting as well. And we also had a big thing at church. And so we got to connect with those friends. And so, yeah, lots of social interactions. We had a party for Jay, a couple parties for Jay at work. So we got to interact socially with his friends at work. So we've been just connecting all over the place.
So I think one of the things that you might be able to really kind of express or ferret out of your experiences is, how did you feel when you had these connecting experiences?
Well, with the grandmas coming, I was really stressed out at first, just wanting the house to be, you know, clean and organized and, you know, having everything ready for what they were wanting to do. And but then also preparing for the party that was going to be at my house like 2 days after they got here. And so I was really stressed out. And so I reached out to a buddy and, you know, got support. I also got support from Jay, my husband, also just, you know, telling the kids, okay, we want to have the house be a certain kind of way for the grandma so that everything runs smoothly. And, you know, and so they were supportive about, you know, getting things cleaned up that way. But definitely I had to reach out and ask for support with the stressing out about, you know, the tidiness of the house and whatnot. And then after they were here, I just really tried to be present. You know, that was one of my shifts that I talked about last week that I wanted to shift. And I just really wanted to be present, just be in the moment, you know, really connect with his family. And, well, I mean, they're my family now too, but his mom and his grandma, and just really, you know, start to get to know them, because most of the time when we see each other, it's the hustle bustle of the holidays. And I wanted to be able to just have moments where we talked and we connected and got to know each other. And so I made sure that those moments happened, and, you know, tried to stay present throughout all of it and not get stressed if the kitchen was, you know, not tidy. So for the most part, it was a really great visit, because I think because I had those shifts in mind before it came, and I reached out for support within my support team.
Great. And that's a great segue into our conversation this evening. And that is, at first you were disconnected, feeling stressed and kind of beating yourself up and closed off. And then you remembered to be open and present and centered and accepting and having this desire to have this loving relationship with your in-laws, and you were able to do that shift because you'd made a commitment to that and because you were aware, and then you were willing to make that connection. So you practiced exactly what you had determined, and you reached out for help, which is what we're kind of talking about tonight, is the need for support. And as we connect with one another, there's this opportunity then for us to receive and to give and to have giving and receiving become a way of life. And that's kind of the connecting piece. So in Rhonda Britton's Fearless Living book and in her program, she talks about support, and actually she calls them fear buster teams. And there's actually four roles that are shared in the chapter about a fear buster team. There's also some specific guidelines in that chapter on how to go about choosing your fear buster team, and perhaps we can post that on our website, because I don't think we'll have time to talk about all of that tonight in our 30 minutes, as well as to introduce the four roles of our support team or our fear buster team. So there is an exercise to help you to identify the members of your fear buster team. And so we could post that exercise on our website, Kelly, where they list their friends and then they look at what areas of life they might be counted on for support to help people identify. So we can put that up on our website, which will help you as you go about the process of developing your Fearbuster team. You're not going to do it in 1 week. It's going to take time. It's a process. And as you go through the exercise and you go through the experience of connecting with other people, some people may fall off of your Fearbuster team, and others that you didn't think would even be one of your Fearbusters becomes one. And so it's a process that ebbs and flows as you go through your journey and as you become more aware and more committed and acting on those commitments. So the four roles that Kelly listed on the website that we would talk about tonight are support buddies, wise counsel, voices of experience, and powerful partners. So we can talk about those, knowing that we have about 20 minutes left of time. And then if we have time, we also may have Jay come on and share some of his journey of awareness, willingness, and connection. Next week, we're hoping to have with us our friend Janet to kind of tie this whole step in our journey together of connection and kind of process the three steps we've worked on so far and how they work together synergistically and how those will then take us to our next step, which is compassion. So let's look at support buddies first, and we can talk a little bit about the role of a support buddy. And a support, I think the most important thing, and then Kelly, you add what you think, is that these are people who are good at being providing us with a safe environment. We feel safe exploring our true nature with them. We can be vulnerable with them. They're the people that will recognize and have faith in us, and they might believe in us before we believe in ourselves. They're really the kind of people that give us that gift of belief. They believe in us, and they help us to believe in ourselves. So what other qualities do you see in a support buddy, Kelly, and what's been some of your experiences in finding those support buddies in your life?
Well, I think the best way for me to describe a support buddy is a cheerleader. They're that person that is there building you up and cheering you on and telling you and reminding you that you can do it. And, I mean, if you think about the cheerleaders in a football game, you know, when the team is down, that's when they're most, you know, animated and they do their most cheers because they want to rally up that team so that they can keep going forward. And that's kind of what your support buddies do for you. They are there for you. They believe in you. They know you can do it. And they want to support you in going forward and being fearless. And this is my favorite role to play. And I think I'm a pretty good support buddy, to tell you the truth. But it is something that I just do naturally. And I have people in my life that do it for me too. And they're always there to tell you you can achieve your dreams and your goals and your desires, that you can do it. They're not the ones that are telling you, oh, you're right, that's not a good move, or the ones that tear you down. Those are definitely not support buddies. They're the ones that are always there telling you that you're a good person, that you're doing good things, that you're trying your best, I don't know, those are things that people tell me, that you can do it, and that they believe in your potential, they believe in your drive, they believe in your ability. Whatever those things are that you're doubting of yourself, they don't doubt. They know you can. They know you will. So
that's I like that analogy of a cheerleader. And I would agree that you have that natural inclination, and that's part of your nature to be a cheerleader. And I think some of the other things that a cheerleader or a support buddy can do for you is that you feel safe to vent with them as well. And they will listen, and they will give you feedback, and they will help you remember that you're ready, willing, and able to overcome whatever the situation is that you might be venting about. And they also, I think sometimes you have to remember that you have to ask for their help, just like you did in the situation when you were getting ready for your in-laws to come. It's good for the help. It's not because when you try to have it like a silent contract, oh, they should know when I need their help, then you're setting yourself up for some disappointment and some expectations. But I like one of the things that Rhonda Burton says in her book is support buddy helps build evidence to prove that support gives us courage to have confidence in who we are faster than if we relied on just ourselves. And I think that's really important, that they're supporting us and we'll move so much more quickly through our journey than we would if we just tried to rely on ourselves. And we're sometimes, in my nature, asking for help was seen as a weakness or in being incompetent, which is my trigger, my fear trigger. And so it's been a journey for me to be able to ask for support and to be vulnerable with a support buddy. And I think it's really important that you have that vulnerability and that level of safety with someone in order to really work through things that are fearful to you or that are roadblocks to you in your journey. Because trying to do it alone, no one can be fearless alone, and no one can really progress in their journey alone. And for my nature and my energy type, it's to be independent. And because I see asking for help as a weakness. So that's been a real awareness for me in my journey with Fearless Living, to realize that it's not a weakness to ask for help, but it's actually something that will propel me forward better and more quickly than if I just relied on myself. So it allows us to trust people and to accept people's love. So again, it's that giving and receiving becomes a way of life rather than an incident in our life or a period in our life, you know, when we need help. But it becomes a way of living that's supporting others and letting others support you. It's kind of like at Christmas time, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's really blessed to get, blessed to receive. You know, I think that there are both. Both of those are really important as you go through life. But I think that support buddies are really, really important. And there's also a big exercise in the book about the language of support and how to talk to people that you almost have to train one another to be support buddies. And so that's also in this chapter, so we might want to include that as well. So we better move on, though, to wise counsel. So let's move to wise counsel. And wise counsel is oftentimes a role that is context-sensitive. So you may have a wise counsel in one area, and another person would be your wise counsel in another context. So you don't just have one counsel, but you may have a number of wise counsels, one in area of family, career. Kelly has a wise counsel helping her in her organizing of her home and making her home a place where she feels everything around her is supportive of her. So I think that's really important to realize that you have wise counsels in a number of areas in your life. It's not just going to be one person. Would you agree, Kel?
I would for you know, certain things. But I think also there can be someone that you trust, and it's someone that you go to when you have like a decision to make, and you trust their you know, overall or general knowledge of you and of life. Like, I have a certain person that Terry would obviously be one of my wise counsel. You know, if I have a decision to make, I would go to my mom and I would talk to her about it. And I would, you know, say, okay, this is what's going on. What do you think? These are our options that we're thinking about. I've done that so many times with you. But also, there's you know, people in my life that I would go to with, you know, general life questions, but not necessarily everything. But, you know, so there is, I think there are times where you have maybe someone specific you would go to. Like if it's something religious, you might go to a religious advisor. Or if it's something about getting a new car, you would go to someone who knew a lot about cars. Or if it's something about your kids, you would maybe go to someone who also has, you know, the same amount of kids you have, or kids that are the same ages as your kids. So I think there are situations where you would go to someone specific, but I think there are certain people in your life that you can go to for pretty much anything. You know, like for me, it would be you, or like Rob Bell is another person that I use in my life as just a general person I could go to for about anything. Or I go to Jay, even my husband. I can go to him and ask him, what do you think about this? Not always helpful, but I do go to him and I ask him what, you know, what he thinks about this situation one way or the other. So I think that you can have both.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. I think it's interesting in the book, she talks about how this is where you might actually go to professionals as well. And I think you alluded that you may go to a professional, like a dietitian, if your nutrition is an issue and you're trying to become more healthy, you might go to a professional nutritionist or a specialist in herbs or somewhere where there's someone that could help you in that way. And usually when you're going to someone, there's a list of things that you might do in the chapter that would help you to have this encounter with a wise counsel, be prepared and fruitful. And again, depending on whom and the context, is to really keep notes, to treat this person with respect and really listen to what this person has to say, and that they're not there to make a decision for you. They're there to help you be accountable for your own life and your own decisions. So they're going to listen. They're going to ask questions. They're going to help you to sort through your options and help you come to some conclusions with their counsel, but not them making your decision. Because then you're relinquishing your accountability for the decisions that you make in your life. So it's a little bit more of a formal situation. It can be more impromptu, like you're talking about when you just talk with your husband, you know. But even then, it's good to keep notes and keep a list of pros and cons. And as you're trying to make a decision and you're trying to either take a risk or make a change, it's good to keep that in a more business-like, more formal kind of a relationship, where you're truly looking for this opportunity to think things through and allow you to come up with answers so that you can then move forward. So there's quite a few layers to the concept of a wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about that before we look at the next two in the next 8 minutes?
6 minutes. I think wise counsel can also be what our next topic is, which is a voice of experience. I think, you know, like someone who's been there, done that. Like if you have a specific thing in mind that you want to accomplish, and that person specializes in that, or that person has gone through that process before, and you go to that person to help you with those specific things. So I think you can get a little confused between wise counsel and voice of experience. But voice of experience is very specific with what you're going to them for.
Your voice of experience?
Yeah, the next one is called voice of experience.
Your voice of experience is when you've already been cheered by your support buddy. You've thought things through with your wise counsel. You've made a decision to take a risk and try something new. And now you're going to maybe go for guidance from a voice of experience along the way. Someone who, like mm-hmm. you said, has already done this. Someone that can give you reassurance. Someone who's been down a similar route and encountered similar pitfalls. It can really be valuable to you at that point to go to a voice of experience and to say, would you do this again? What might you have done differently? So you're getting some real support in terms of mm-hmm. that decision that you've made.
Mm-hmm. I think the major difference is that it's very specific what you're going to them for. It's not general, can you help me with making this decision? It's okay, I've made the decision and now I'm going forward and can you, are you willing to support me along the way and help me, know which way to turn or if this happens or to steer clear of this. It's very specific advice.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're asking for the green light to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on that decision. Yeah, and I think here's where you have to be careful that the person doesn't become a fear junkie where they start giving you horror stories. You're just, mm-hmm. You're for a vote of confidence. You're looking for that green light to move ahead based on their experience as well. So
yeah, like the
last.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
We're running out of time, so it's probably good to just go forward.
The last one is a powerful partnership. And how would you then talk about the powerful partnership as part of your team? What makes
it
unique?
Well, I think the thing that makes a powerful partnership special or different from the other members of your team is that you're mutually connected, working towards a goal. And it's usually someone you have, like, a contract with. So it's your business partner or it's your spouse or it's someone where you're mutually working together towards the same goal and that your success is also their success. And it's a long-term relationship. It's not just someone who's going to be, occasionally in your life or occasionally giving you support. It's someone you're connected with. And that you're going to be connected with for a long time. So
yeah.
You're probably not going to have a lot of powerful partners in your support group, but this is someone that's going to be by your side, working towards your success. You're working towards their success together.
So I think the commitment is paramount. It's a long-term commitment. It's where you've decided to help one another without putting each other down, to recognize each other's strengths as well as each other's, respect for each other's needs. So it's really a partnership. And for me, like when we went through the coaching program, we have powerful partners that we're going through the coaching program with. So we've got a minute and a half before our time is up. And so I think what we'd like to ask you to do this week, and then we can talk about this next week as kind of a culmination of our connecting, is to connect with one person this week, a person that maybe you want to reestablish a bond or maybe someone that's given you support already or reach out to a new potential supporter. If you will do that, then ask for the kind of support you need and just, go for it. Let's see if you can start to build that support team. So it might be a support buddy. It could be a wise counsel. It could be a voice of experience, or it could be a powerful partner. So we want to challenge you to look on our website. We'll put up some exercises to help you find those. And then next week we'll report as well. Kelly and I will do the same. And we'll report back our success with that. But anyway, have a wonderful holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, just remember the reason for the season and love your family and enjoy the time you'll have together before we see each other again next Monday. So, Kelly, any last words of advice?
Just remember, no one can be fearless alone. So Others are out there seeking support as well, just like you. And if you ask, they're going to be more than willing to support you because they want it to.
Yep, great. Awesome. All right, so be fearless, and we will talk to you in 1 week. Be sure to check the website for the information on how to go about developing your support team and connecting with others. So our time is up. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good night.